Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning and for blessing me. And I also want to give honor to those that are celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday, as many individuals are engaging in a lot of different types of celebrations and parades. In addition to that, I know in San Diego County, in North County, we have the Martin Luther King breakfast birthday, which was originally started by Mrs. June Parks. And I hate that I'm not here or there today, as my daughter got me in Compton working like a Hebrew slave trying to clean out the patio, the house, and all that other stuff. So Ryder and I are hiding from her, or we was until I kicked him out. So again, I want to first give honor in regards to those places that are due. But today's topic is one of those interesting topics. Many may not know, but the month of January is actually Human Sex Trafficking Awareness Month. Now, when we start talking about sex trafficking and human sex trafficking, there is a difference because one involves sex. However, it is also known as what individuals are today calling another type of modern day slavery, because many individuals are not aware of what it consists of, what's happening to individuals. And not only is it happening, when I say individuals, it's happening to adults, it's happening to children, both male and female. Now, let me add the callers that are already on that's going to be joining me with the show. Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You know what? Thank you. I can hear an echo in the background, so I don't know how you're, I don't know if you're on your phone or how you're doing it, but I can hear an echo. But good morning, and I want to thank you for joining me here on the show this afternoon. I keep saying this morning, but it's this afternoon. Ryder and I, we're hiding from Tisha, so she got us over here cleaning up, and it's just not fair. Okay, let me log on the other caller. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, number ending in 06. How are you doing? Okay, they're not saying anything. Okay, now, I want to start off by saying, like I said, the month of January is Human Sex Trafficking Awareness Month. Now, human sex trafficking is the third largest international crime industry. It is reportedly generates a profit of over $32 billion every year. Of that $15 billion, of dollars is made in industrialized countries. Now, when I found this information as I was looking and doing my research, and every year the number kind of changes, but they estimate that the International Labor Organization estimates that girls and women represent the largest share of forced labor victims, with 11.4 million trafficked. Now, however, when it comes to human sex trafficking, like I said earlier, it is known as a new form of slavery. Now, we must do something to help our women and children, because according to estimates, 80% of trafficking involves sexual exploitation and 19% involves labor exploitation. So that's the difference. Some individuals are used sexually, while others are used in sweatshops and all over in other different countries in regards to their labor. Now, according to the United States Department, 600,000 and 800,000 people are trafficked across the international borders every year, of which 80% are females and half are children. Now, the average teens that enter the sex trade in the U.S. is between the ages of 12 and 14 years of age. Now, many victims are runaways, girls who are sexually abused as children. Young men can also be trafficked. So individuals will probably be calling into the show, because there are a lot of organizations that are doing a lot of different things in regards to how to identify, how to help individuals. And if you are a victim, a survivor, or you know of someone, if you are a parent concerned about your child or your children or your young adult as they're coming and going in their well-being, give us a call, 516-387-1000. 1914. Now, Amy, when you was getting your information for the show, what were some of the things that you came up with when we start talking about a human sex trafficking?
And I
thought
discovered
I spelled it wrong.
What?
I thought I spelled it wrong. I'm looking at this like, oh, okay. That's what I get for trying to do it early this morning. Okay, I left out an F. Okay.
I discovered that it's a lot more prominent than people realize. It's right in front of us, and we oftentimes don't even realize it. I mean, I didn't even realize it's this prominent. It starts at a very young age, and it makes sense that, you know, we can persuade young females to get involved with this with promises. Like, you know, we're all looking for love and comfort and safety. And a lot of times that's what the traffickers can offer.
And you know what, looking at that and what you just said makes a whole lot of sense, because especially when you're looking at your targeted population. I remember when I was part of an organization called Seroptimus International, and it was an organization of women empowering women. And during this time of month, we would go out and we would go to train stations, we would go to bus stations, we would pass out flyers to try to help individuals be able to recognize if someone was in danger. And now we have like the National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And a lot of times we put on our blinders because we think these things don't exist. But when you're talking about something that's generating that type of money, it makes you wonder. And even though we have these organizations that are trying to stop individuals, how do we get to the root of this problem, especially when you're talking about it bringing in that type of revenue? But it's sad, because sex trafficking occurs when someone uses force, fraud, coercion to cause commercial act with an adult or minor to commit a commercial sexual act. Now, the commercial act includes prostitution, pornography, and sexual performances done in exchange for any item of value such as money, drugs, shelter, food, clothes. Now, the thing is, like you said, a lot of individuals are looking for love. But by that same token, that is not love. Because I remember several years ago, Amy, they had this thing in San Diego County where they had bust a ring of sex traffickers. Many of them were gang members, many of them were drug dealers. And the women were on, I think it was either CNN or NBC and Dateline, and they were talking about how they weren't fed, how they were beat, how they were abused. Now, sometimes when we talk about adult, people say, well, an adult has a right to say who they want to have sex with. But this is when it's done without a person's consent. This is when, like you said, when we were talking about using coercion, using force, that takes it to a whole nother level. Now, when we start talking about these different things, the traffickers find their victims through social networks, home neighborhoods, clubs, bars, internet, and schools. Now, this has to end. And like I said, if you've been a victim, a survivor, a parent, or a concerned citizen, and you want to discuss this, give us a call, because we really need to put an end to this. What are your thoughts?
What do you concern about, like, people? Is it anything or what?
What do you mean anything?
Like pornography or sex, like if you've been forced or anything like that. Does that all goes with what you're saying?
Well, see, this is the thing. A lot of times when we're talking about this ring, and I know who you are, Michelle, because I know your voice,
okay.
But there is a ring of individuals. Now, there are some things we're talking about, pimps, and people are getting arrested for pimping and pandering and things of that nature. But when you start talking about human sex trafficking, that's taking it to a whole nother level, because some individuals will consent and engage in prostitution. But when you're talking about human sex trafficking, these individuals are not consenting. These individuals are being forced into prostitution, not something that they choose to do on their own. They're not saying, okay, I want to be into pornography, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. They're being abused, threatened, forced, coerced, and that's where it makes a difference. And they're not, in most cases, they're not the one reaping the benefits or being paid for it. In some cases, they are not even getting paid. Their compensation may be you may get a little bit of food, you may get a little bit of shelter. You know, that's their compensation. So it's not like you have a pimp and you paying, or you paying your pimp for your pimp is protecting you. This is a whole different type of setup. And when you're talking about kids as young as between the ages of 12 to 14, both male and female, and men, the male population is actually increasing, and the way they targeted individuals, and like I said, it indicates, I found some information, and it says, what is sex trafficking? And this comes from Shared Hope International. And they said it is a booming industry. And when they say what they mean by booming industry is the money and the profits that are coming in. Now, again, sex trafficking occurs when someone uses force, fraud, coercion to cause commercial sex with an adult or minor, or to cause them to commit these things. Like I said earlier, the acts are prostitution, pornography, sexual performances done in exchange for any item of value. Doesn't mean that the person's going to get it. It thrives because there's a serious demand. Buyer, meaning fuels the market with their money. Traffickers are the pimps. They exploit the victim to earn revenues from the buyer. And the victim includes both boys and girls who are bought and sold for profit. So do that answer your question, Michelle? Because, you know, normally, like I said, if a person is out there engaging in prostitution, it's not like that they're being bought and sold by the pimp. Totally different.
Okay. Now,
individuals are lured through the promises of protection, adventure, home, opportunity, and like Amy said earlier, love. What the trafficker uses is violence, fear, threats, and intimidation. Now, when we start talking about in regards to the way that society may call it prostitution, but the federal law calls it sex trafficking, and victims need help, not judgment or punishment. Now, because of social media stigma and misinformation, victims go or can't go identified by signs of fear and the control of their trafficker. Now, Amy, we just had recently the young lady who was kidnapped and her parents was killed. And I believe the person that did it was, I think it was like 21 years old. She finally escaped and got away. And I want to say it was Polly Class. I believe that's what her name was. And, you know, I don't know if they say she was sexually molested during the time when she was abducted, but there are victims. There are real live victims out there. When I did this show, I think it was either last year or the year before, I had a young lady, and she's very well known in the community. She goes and she does a lot of speaking. She was also on TED Talk, so she did several things. And she shared that when she was, I believe she was 15 years old and was trafficked, it was done by members her family trusted in the community, and they were actually involved with the local church. And they would, you know, the family thought the family was okay, and the guy would pick them up and take the kids around, and his wife was there, and they were actually sex trafficking the kids in the neighborhood. And the kids didn't even realize what was going on. So a lot of times the kids don't know what to do. They don't know how to go tell their parents because they are afraid. Now, when I said unidentified, that's the silence by the fear and control. Misidentified, meaning that they are pigeonholed into treatment for only the surface of the issue. So sex trafficking children, instead, they need to be treated also for drug abuse, alcohol abuse, domestic violence, delinquency, sometimes teen pregnancies, STDs, and abortions. Now, this is one of the organizations that they have, and they indicate let's stop trafficking once and for all. But, you know, Amy, the part that gets me is the individuals that are paying to have sex with these kids. What is your comment in regards to that?
I mean, it happens, and it's a sad world that we live in. It's kind of building that, you know, communication with your children to be able to come to you and talk about things and how it's not appropriate. I also think it ties in with like high school, because it's hard to talk to teenagers, and sex education in high schools is not, I mean, you look at our sex education in the United States versus other countries, and ours is very sad. There's just not much sex. It's all about abstinence and not having sex, rather, instead of like safe sex or prevention of, you know, children. So I think that that's a whole nother issue in itself.
Correct. And like I said, and today's show is basically to bring an awareness. We really need to bring an awareness. And like I said, a lot of laws have been passed. A lot of policies have been passed in regards to that. I saw something, I want to say it was in L.A., there was a pimp. He got sentenced to, I think, 100 and something years for pimping women in the state of California. So he will never, ever, ever, ever get out of jail. Hold on. Let me log on this caller right quick. We have another caller calling in. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Good.
Number 888. Hi, Amalia. Welcome to the show. I want to read some information, and then I would like for you to share some of the information that you may have. Now, when I say that we are to bring a sense of awareness, and a lot of organizations are doing things, I found an organization, and it indicates, it says dosomething.org. They talk about 11 facts about human trafficking. And one of the things they indicate, they said that there's a global movement of 6 million young people making positive change online and off. Now, the 11 facts below are some of the sources and the facts that they found out in regards to do something about it and how to take action. They indicate that globally, the average cost of a slave is $90. It also indicates that trafficking primarily involves, like I said before, the exploitation, which comes in many forms, forcing victims into prostitution, subjecting them into slavery or industrial servitude, and compelling victims to commit sex acts for purpose of creating pornography. Now, according to some estimates, like I said before, approximately 80% of trafficking involves sexual exploitation, and here they indicate 19% involves labor exploitation. Now, there are approximately 20 to 30 million slaves in the world today, and according to the U.S., 600 to 800 people are trafficked across the international borders. 80% are female and children. The age range from 12 to 14. And California harbors 3 of the FBI's 13 highest sex trafficking areas of the nation, with Los Angeles, San Francisco, and San Diego. And they also indicate that the National Human Trafficking Hotline receives more calls from Texas than any other state in the U.S., and 15% of those calls are from Dallas-Fort Worth area. They indicate that between 14,500 and 17,500 people are trafficked in the U.S. each year, as the third largest international crime. And they indicate that the International Labor Organization estimates that women and girls represent the largest shared force of labor victims, with 11.4 million trafficked. Now, that is a lot of information, Amalia. Now, what is some of the information that you found as you was doing or not? Because I know you always gather your research. What is some of the information you found?
Actually, this time I did not gather any research. But I'm heading, I know, right? And I'm actually in Huntington Beach, and I do know that there's faith organizations. I don't know if you guys have talked about them. But a lot of faith organizations are also joining the forces with the legal aspect of human trafficking. I don't know if that's something that you've covered, but I know, I mean, from my experience with human trafficking victims, human sex trafficking victims, actually, I do know that it's very prevalent. We're here in Southern California, and I kind of cringe now because my view of life is so different from, quote unquote, a normal person's life. So I know that when conventions are in town, that's when human sex trafficking victims are bussed over or sent over. So it's always, you know, when these huge conventions come in town, I think for me personally, it's just a kind of, I have a different interpretation of what that means. Also have worked with human sex trafficking victims. So I do know that a lot of times the victims become perpetrators. I've had victims who also recruit. They go into juvenile halls and they prey on a certain type of person to recruit them into human sex trafficking. So I think it's one of those taboo issues that we don't really talk about. I think sex in general is something that we don't talk to our children about, but it's also something that we kind of can't imagine that's happening in our own backyards, and it really is really, really is happening. I think worldwide it's a global enterprise of, I don't know how many billions. I think the last time I looked it up was last year, and it was about 3.2, I would say. It's a $3.2 billion industry globally. I think it was earlier in 2018 when President Trump passed a law. I don't remember the name of it. I should have done some research now that I think about it. But he did pass an act where I remember Backpage was the name of the website. And that was a website that was kind of the filter for soliciting underage. I can't even say service workers because they're not working. They're forced to do something. So I think the good side is that we know so much more about it, that we have task force, we have faith-based organizations. We now know what the signs are. We know what to look for. And we also have the laws in place to help these victims get out.
The law that Trump passed is the Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Jeanette is having some technical difficulties calling back in. She just texted me and said, "Can you hear me?" So I suppose she's not connected. Classic.
So, I mean, I don't know how you guys talked about the difference between human trafficking and human sex trafficking.
We haven't touched on it, if you want to explain the difference.
Well, I think the difference is the force law. And there's also... Is that her?
No.
Oh, so the difference is the purpose of forced labor. So, you know, human sex trafficking goes under the human trafficking. Human trafficking can also be forced labor. It can also be sexual exploitations when it's commercial exploitation. I think that's where there's the differentiation between human trafficking and human sex trafficking.
Does human sex trafficking necessarily always mean, does human trafficking, is that more of like using drugs, like getting drugs across the border, or trafficking in that aspect?
It's like quote unquote modern day slavery. So it's when you're forced to do something that's either fraudulent, coercion, forced. It could be labor, which that would be labor. And I think that there's another distinction between prostitution and human sex trafficking. And human sex trafficking is always when it's commercial. So there's very thin lines. The lines are whether what's being exploited. So if it's, let me try to think back to the laws, but the laws are that if you're illegally crossing something into a country, then the law is that it's going against the country's laws. So when it comes to sexual exploitation, then it's the victim is a human. So then it becomes human sex trafficking. That makes any sense. I'm trying to remember the laws of it.
Jeanette mentioned that social networking is a common way how traffickers get their victims. And it's a huge aspect in today's society. It's just everyone has their phone. Mm-hmm. And is attached to their phone and is on some sort of social media.
Well, you have to think about the personality of a perpetrator. So perpetrators groom, and so grooming takes a long time. So they will groom families to gain the trust of the families so that they can get access to their victims. They will also pick out a victim online, talk to them for years, you know, maybe when they're 10, 11, talk to them, tell them how pretty they are, how beautiful they are, how nobody understands them, how they want to meet up with them. They're also, you know, you have to look at what a victim is also. So these perpetrators go specifically after people who have low self-esteem, low social economic class. And statistically that's what it is, but that I've met people with highly educated women who were forced into human sex trafficking. I mean, college degrees women. So it's hard to just generalize it. But, you know, I think the door and the step in is usually because they are promised all of these beautiful things, whether it be love, whether it be
acceptance, whether it be financial gain, to just maybe go meet this guy. Hey, you know, you'll earn a couple $100. Just meet with him. It's dinner. Or, you know, when it's like a 14, 15-year-old, just come, you know, your family doesn't understand you. Come meet me here, and I'm going to be your boyfriend. I'm going to take care of you because you're so beautiful and you deserve it. And then, you know, it goes really quickly once they're able to meet face-to-face, when it goes from online to in-person. And then, like I said, it can also be same-sex. So I've known of girls that on purpose will get arrested so that they can go into jails and they can recruit inside the jail system or the juvenile hall system, so that they can recruit victims once they are released to bring them into this life.
I read something about the traffickers. They feed on, like, empowerment, control, power.
Right.
They make the victims feel wanted.
Correct. It becomes one of these, like, our healthy relationship cycle. If you look at the wheel of healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships, it's always an imbalance of power and control. So someone has to have the power and control, and then the victim always feels that they do not have that power and control. So that's really what the, I guess.
You've reached Jeanette Abney, licensed marriage and family therapist. If you're calling to make an appointment for an EAP.
Oh, Amy.
Hello?
Okay. Hi. I was able to call in on another thing. You know what? My phones and stuff are all messed up. I don't know how that just happened.
Okay. I was just listening to the two talking about it. I'm like, whoa, where'd she go?
You know what? I got kicked off the air, and then when I tried to log on, it wouldn't let me do it. So then I used my other phone, and I can only listen, and I couldn't talk. Then my number popped up. Then Amy was texting me. Amy called me, and when Amy called me, I pressed the button, and then that voice just popped up. Okay. So I'm not on mic anymore.
I called you to merge the phone calls. I was trying to outsmart the system, and I merged
the
calls.
Got you. Okay. Because I'm sitting here like, why is my phone doing the voices. Okay, but you know what? Hey, we made it happen because I was like, no, it did just kick me off. It went zoop. And Jeanette was gone. But the thing is, and I couldn't click the other button because it would have clicked the whole show off. But thank you guys for the information that you're sharing with the listeners. And at least I do have access to the board in case some people do call in and they want to share. Because I like the information that you guys are sharing, because a lot of times when individuals are being lured or they're being seduced, and, you know, Amalia, and when you was talking about that, I was thinking about, we were talking about social media. And social media is now one of those things that's definitely being used in order to lure people, because people are doing online dating, individuals are going out on blind dates, and you don't know who you're hooking up with. And there's also different types of even pimps when you're talking about individuals, and when you're looking at, you know, for protection, or they love me, and they're saying, if you love me, you'll do this. And are they drugging the girls? And the way they would target it will be, you know, in the beginning it was more runaways, individuals having problems with their parents at home. But now it could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can get caught up in this.
How do you, like, explain it to your kids to, like, watch out for these people? I tell Alyssa all the time, I go, I don't want you going by yourself, you know. Like, sometimes when she spends the night, she'll have a group of friends, and I'll let her go with groups, you know. But I don't let her go out by herself. But, like, how do I, like, explain it to her, because you really don't know who they are.
You don't.
You know?
You know what? And I'm going to say this, Michelle. Groups can be just as dangerous as going out alone.
I know.
Individuals in groups. So this is one of the things that they indicate in regards to not only just people also in the community, because I wanted to share some information that the Marriott Hotel is doing. Now, I want to put this out there first. There is what's called a hotline number. I don't know if you gave the information out, Amalia. But the National Human Trafficking Hotline number is 1-800-373-7888. And they basically are open. You can also text them at 233-733, text help or info. and it's 24 hours, 7 days a week, and they have languages in English, Spanish, and 200 more languages. And they also have a website at humantraffickinghotline.org. So if you need some help, now, when we're talking about parents and, you know, in the neighborhood and what can individuals do, a lot of times individuals get stuck because they don't know what to do. And they catch individuals either when they're vulnerable or they lie to individuals. But some of the things that individuals can do, it says, how can you be the one to help? Pay attention to people in your community, surroundings, and report red flag behaviors, which we can talk about some of those red flags. Don't wait to call. Make your report timely. Every moment matters. Don't approach the trafficker yourself, meaning if you know someone is a human sex trafficker, you feel it in your gut, don't say nothing to them, because if you do, you might put yourself in danger, and you may also put the other person in danger. If you conduct or you observe that what you conduct or observe is an emergency, call 911 and tell them you believe or you have observed human trafficking, and don't worry about being wrong. You may be the one that saved someone's life. And if it's not an emergency, you can remain anonymous, again, by calling the National Human Trafficking Hotline. Give them a description of the car, description of the people, when and where you saw the conduct, and take a picture if you can, because that can also help later on save a person's life. Now, Michelle, you asked a question in regards to you being a parent, and what do you do? Ask questions. Talk to your children. Look for changes in their behavior, you know, the way they're dressing, you know, talk about where they're going. Those are some of the things that I would do, even though my kids are young adults, but I also do with my grandkids. So you have to engage in that conversation.
That's hard, because I tell Lisa, it's very important that you look around you and you know your surroundings. But she, because she grew up with film, she's just on the go, on the go, on the go, and she doesn't really pay attention. And, you know, I'm supposed to be going to court to try to get her, but in the same time, she's already used to all this, and I'm scared that she could be one that, you know, I pray to God it doesn't happen, but she doesn't pay attention, really. She doesn't watch her phone, and, I mean, I don't know how to change that.
The thing is, you have to let her know that these type of things are happening, and you want to. And there's some information, and I just went to bring, it's called bringingfreedom.org, talking to kids about human sex trafficking, and they say that some kids can be naive and often makes them trusting and easy for traffickers to build relationships with. It says simply talking to your child in your life about human sex trafficking and how to protect themselves can give them the knowledge they need to recognize behavior that could put them in harm's way. So one thing about the internet can be good and the internet can also be bad, but there is a lot of information out there. And it says right here, a few basic tools to protect your children. Know where your kids are all the time. Know what your kids are doing online, and teach them about internet safety. Internet safety is very important. And talk to your kids about sexual exploitation. Let them know what that means. Know the warning signs of sexual abuse in younger children, teens, and recognize the warning signs of sexual exploitation. And stay informed and up to date on the latest information. Because a lot of times individuals, you know, when there's new things coming out, individuals don't pay attention to that either. Now, we talked about the recruitment, the harboring, the transportation, the provision of obtaining individuals for these different types of acts. But we do have to make sure, like I said, we have to definitely be proactive. Now, I found some information, ladies, in regards to this, and I found it to be very interesting in regards to some of the places where they had the top 11 states. Louisiana was first. I'm not first, but on their list, Louisiana, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, Washington, Montana, and Mississippi were among the top states. Now, with cities, they had Los Angeles, San Diego County, San Francisco, Dallas. So, you know, a lot of times individuals are talking about, well, That's why we need to protect our borders. That's why we need to do that. Now, that don't have anything to do, like, for anything, but what are your thoughts in regard to that, Amalia, when we start talking about protecting our borders and human sex trafficking? Because, like I said, this is a billion-dollar industry.
I think people have it wrong because I think of the millions of sex traffickers. I believe it was 85% are American. So it's our It's our American citizens that are being trafficked and going to other countries, not the other way around. So I will look up that statistics, but I would bet money that it's 85% are Americans who are forced to.
And it doesn't mean that it's not happening in other countries. Well, like
no,
I said, if you know your husband is having sex with minors, or if you've seen this happening, you have to say something. And a lot of times individuals don't want to get their husbands in trouble or their kids and, you know, their adult sons in trouble. I look at it like this. Somebody is paying for that. Now, I have found
I agree. You know, and what if you're afraid to say something because you're going to get in trouble? Like, look at my site on everything. And calling CPS and everything, and they told me if I called them that I was going to get thrown in jail. So now I'm like scared to say anything. They thought I was lying.
And you know what? And it's crazy because, Michelle, I when I hear you talking, I told you this stuff so long ago. I told you this was going to happen. Now,
I know.
Protecting your family from sex traffickers. Now, there's some other information because, like I said, this is a serious issue. Because a lot of times individuals have no idea sometimes what's going on. And when we're talking about individuals being vulnerable, any child or teen can be vulnerable to being groomed into sex slave industry. And you know what? When I did the show last year, I saw some information. There were people in their family that was using their own family members, their own children, and was trafficking them. So
that's
not even strangers.
That was one of my very first cases when I became a social worker. It was my very first case. It was a mother who had trafficked her 12-year-old, and so her daughter was in a foster home. And she said to me, she said, and I remember her, I mean, her image of her, I know exactly where she lives. And she said, you know, Amalia, she was going to be sexually active, so I might as well get some money. And that was her rationale for what she was doing to her daughter. So it does happen. It does happen.
Wow.
And I've known of several throughout my years that but that's the rationale for it.
Yeah, and it's just sad. Older brothers, fathers, it's crazy. It is so crazy. Now, and like I said, one of the most difficult realities for parents, grandparents, caretakers is to accept that there's an industry of products created to deceive your child regarding your child's online activities. And when we're talking about the Internet and social media being one of them, there are phones, computer applications whose sole purpose is to allow children to text, sext, and chat or engage in various activities without your knowledge. And even if you are diligent and regularly checking their phones or computers, there can be dangerous programs hidden in plain sight. So as parents, guardians, foster parents, we need to be curious. We need to know what's best for our child and ready to access today's technology. A lot of times we don't know how to use the social media tools and things that are out there. So we need to check the computers or phones for any new apps installed and stay informed as to what apps are dangerous. If your older children already have established online habits and friendships, it may be difficult to institute new boundaries and rules for them. However, if every parent took a good look at their child's digital devices, many will be surprised as to what they found, because it's better to be aware and safe, so ask about any suspicious activities sooner rather than later when it could be too late. Now, remember, every sex trafficker wants your silence. They don't want parents talking to their children or alerting them about potential dangers. Now, I found something online, and it talks about be aware of the dangerous apps. If you see these applications on your child's phone, tablets, or computers, you should have a discussion with them about the dangers. Instagram, similar to Tumblr, is not quite as profane. Similar exposure potential exists. They have one called, and I never heard of this one before, Amy and Amalia. It's called KIK Messenger. And it says it's a messaging app that allows quick exchange of photos and information. Have you guys heard of that? It's just K-I-K.
I have, yeah. K-I-K.
I never heard of that. And then they have poke. I get a lot of people poking me. I'll never poke back. Send me to Snapchat and messages and images. They can do self-destruct. Snapchat. Messages, photos sent through Snapchat disappear from the originating device within 6 seconds after being sent. Tinder is another one, mainly used as dating or anonymous hookup tools. Tumblr, a photo sharing app. Whisper, I never heard of Whisper. This app purposes to let people expose themselves to things by telling secrets and sharing images to others' view. Oh my God, what is it? Yik Yak? What the heck is Yik Yak? Yik Yak, social media app similar to Facebook, however, more commonly used by cyberbullies for quick hookups.
Really? I thought that was the greeting cards.
No.
Y-I-K-Y-A-K, right?
Y-I-K-Y-A-K. Social media app similar to Facebook, however, more commonly used by cyberbullies for quicker hookups. And it says use software to help. One of the best ways to keep your children safe is to monitor their activity, even when you don't do it directly. A variety of software programs and firewalls exist specifically to help parents limit download apps. You know, tell them, show me your friends. You know, be as gentle as a dove. You know, you want to make sure that you start at a very young age. Tell them about online safety for preteens and teens. Regularly remind them to give out potentially identifying information. And it's sad because you can go online now and find out all kind of stuff. And for teenagers, gaining access to social media sites, phones, you know, you want to make sure that you communicate with them. I was sharing with you guys recently when Keith had told me about the kids in Mississippi that killed their parents because she took their cell phone and they stabbed and shot her. Let me see. We lost a caller, so she's calling back. So these kids are serious about their phones and social media gadgets, but we got to do something. Anything else you want to share, Amalia, as it relates to these different things?
I think there's so much. I think one of the good sites is Joyful Child Foundation. They has a lot of resources. The backstory comes that most children who are kidnapped, it's by a family member. And so Samantha Runyon's story was it made media attention because it was the first time there was an outsider. And when you look at the history of this perpetrator, he was severely beat. Him and his five brothers were taken, put in the foster system. He was in jail, incarcerated. He would seek out single mothers. He would only date single mothers who had young daughters so that he could get close to them. And he was the ultimate boyfriend, picking up them from school, babysitting, you know. He would move in and be Prince Charming. So then the mothers wouldn't believe their daughters when they would disclose. So he took Samantha, and he did horrible things to her. And out of it, Samantha's mother interviewed a lot of people on death row and who had life sentences for these horrific acts. And so she has a whole set of resources as to how to talk to your children about what is appropriate and inappropriate touch, how to pull together as a community to make sure that your neighborhood is safe. I had mentioned that in Huntington Beach, we have a lot of faith groups, human trafficking task force, and it's Christ Pacific Church. So that's also another resource if you reach out to them. They work very closely with the Human Trafficking Task Force here in Orange County. And they employ undercover officers to help out with that here. I also, because I travel a lot, there's an app called Traffic. I'm trying to remember. Traffic with CK. And what you do is you upload pictures of your hotel room, and it goes into law enforcement files. So that way when they get a picture of a victim, they have this database of hotel rooms, and then that way it's called Traffic Cam, TraffickCam. You upload photos of your hotel room, and then these photos are used to determine maybe the area of where the perpetrator is with the sex trafficking is being committed. So there's a lot out there, but I think it's one of those things where you're preaching to the choir just because it's so prevalent in our own field, in our profession, that we're aware of these things. But as I look at maybe like just my parents, they have no idea that down the street there was like a sweep with all this sex trafficking. I mean, in Irvine, we had the the human trafficking with Chinese laborers, and you know, there's a lot of evil out there, but we mm-hmm. just have to be aware, and I think we have to be aware of it so we can help as a community help out when right. you just have a feeling that something's not right about the house next door where there's a lot of people coming and going, and you know, it's always right. a different car, and there's all these young girls, not to be afraid right. to talk.
And we don't want to be like a Miss Kravitz and being all nosy, but by that same token, right. we do need to report any suspicious behavior. You don't want to accuse individuals just because. Now, I found right. some other information. It talks about 6 ways parents can protect their children from sex trafficking, and one of them it says that set high standards of love within your home. If love is in your home, then your child don't need to go outside of the home and start looking for that. Then that way you don't have to worry about that. I remember there was a joke they used to say, a girl without a father was like a stripper looking for a pole. So you want to let your child know that they are loved. And even though if most parents may do that already, if their child start coming to them, don't turn your back on them. And like I said, if you are a single parent and you're dating a guy, keep your eyes and ears open. Also, talk to your children about sexual abuse. You want to make sure that they're aware of that. Talk to them about sex trafficking. And talk to your children about the dangers of social media and pay attention to their children. And invite your kids to pray for those enslaved. So teach them what that means. And again, another hotline number that one can call is 206-451-REST, which is another 24-hour hotline that an individual can call. Now, before I got kicked off the air earlier, Amalia, I wanted to share some information that I learned that the hotels were doing in regards to training their employees. Because individuals in law enforcement, they have certain tasks that they have going on in order to be able to be aware of these different things within the police department, within social services, within the courts. So individuals are now becoming more educated and more knowledgeable, but there's still some other things that we need to do. Now, the Marriott Hotel, which is the Marriott International, has trained 500,000 hotel workers to recognize the signs of human sex trafficking. And this happened as early as, and this article is written January 18, 2019. And it indicates that they announced today, as of this month, they have successfully trained 500,000 hotel workers to spot the signs of human trafficking in its hotel. Now, I hope the traffickers are not listening, saying, we don't want to go to the Marriott anymore. Same token, whether it's the Marriott, whether it's the Motel 6, or whoever, people are now watching. Now, even though, like I said, it is a horrific form of modern-day slavery and entraps millions of people around the world, they indicated that they basically had to make it mandatory to launch human trafficking awareness training programs on property staff for both managed and franchise properties so that individuals can be aware of these things. The training has resulted in rescues because they found that because of the training, they were able to save individuals. But these are some signs. So if you own a hotel, work at a gas station, you're at the airport, these are some of the things you can look for. Minimum luggage and clothing. Multiple men being escorted one at a time into a guest room. Individuals who speak freely or seem disorientated. And guests who insist on little or no housekeeping. Those were some of the red flags that they found. They found that there were also sound bites from hotel workers in English and Spanish who've gone through training that they helped. They found that with the hotel security, housekeepers, front desk associates, and bartenders, they were also able to help. So I like the fact that they are doing these trainings within the workplaces of some of these places, because one of the things that they were doing was paying the hotel manager, giving them kickbacks and things of that nature. And they were not solving the problem. They were actually adding to the problem. Amy, what do you think about that? Or Amalia?
I can see that happening. I think that's a great task to have people watch out for that and spread the word, and having training for other individuals will hopefully bring more awareness, and hopefully we can stop this problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's really exciting news because, you know, that's mm-hmm. where most of this trafficking is going on. I think I had looked at international laws, and where there is legalized prostitution. Many countries, they do have legalized prostitution, but the fine line is at where this prostitution happens, you know, in sex trafficking. So it's actually illegal in hotels to engage in this activity. So I'm really happy that the Marriott has come on board with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they do need to get other hotels that are also involved in some of the because, like I said, when you're talking about billions and billions and billions of dollars, somebody's paying for that. And, you know, and the sad part is, like I said, they've cut down on a lot of different the sweatshops of the cheap labor and things of that nature that was happening with a lot of the kids and the young adults. But we still have to do better. We really have to do better. And it doesn't mean that individuals are not going to go from one crime to another. I remember last year there was a bill that was being passed, and one of the things that they were doing, and it was kind of controversial because they were making it so that if a young person got arrested or whatever, tried to get help, that they wouldn't get charged with prostitution. And because they were trying to find ways of, you know, implementing laws and policies. Now, I'm not sure if the bill had passed or not, but I remember that being a hot topic last year in regards to that bill. And it was the confusion was it didn't want to appear as if it was soliciting individuals to engage in prostitution by not making it a crime. But part of it was because of the human sex trafficking, you don't want to punish individuals for something or if they got caught. Because my question would be, what happens when a child gets caught up in it? I know that they need intensive therapy. I know that they're going to have to go through a lot of things because of the PTSD and the trauma. So among us being therapists, that's on a whole different level. What are some of your thoughts in regards to that, of how do you help a victim of sex trafficking?
Yeah, well, let's see, where do I start with this one? So I think what you're talking about was the prostitution reform, and that was so that it decriminalizing is by decriminalizing it, then you're no longer the victims that are being, I completely just drew a blank, but they're no longer being charged with prostitution. They're being helped as a victim, because that was the problem, is that we were arresting the prostitutes and not getting to the root of the problem, which is arresting the Johns and arresting the clients. So that was a lot, and I also don't know what happened to it. And I think in other countries, because since this is a global problem, I think America really needs to look at what other countries are doing, because prostitution has been around since it's one of the oldest professions, if you look at it in the biblical sense. And so it's a global issue, and if we look at what other countries are doing, they have decriminalized it in other countries. They have legalized it in different countries, and they do not have the it's the same as our war on drugs. The way that they are looking at it is by helping a sex worker that's a sex worker, someone who voluntarily does this. But when you're looking at victims, it's even more important that you help the victims, because if you come from a stable childhood, if you were given the love, if you were given the attention, you had the financial backing, your family had a high social economic, status. Statistically, this is not something that can happen to you. Not that it doesn't happen, because like I said, I've known college students that have gone, because it still can happen. But statistically speaking, we have to address all of our feelings. So, I mean, as I put on my therapeutic and I walk away from laws and policies, but as a therapist, we have to address all of our childhood traumas. So if as a child you felt that you were out of control, that you were not loved, that you're not good enough, you don't deserve things, then that manifests itself, and it becomes you grow up with these feelings of not fitting in, of not being loved. And so when you have someone saying, no, you are worthy of these things, and come with me, and you'll never have to be poor again because you're beautiful and a lot of people want to meet you because you're interesting, then, of course, any young person who doesn't have that sense of safety, of not being safe with someone who tells them all of these things, of course that's what's going to happen. And by and it's just like, I think that when we blame the victim, I mean, that's it goes 100% against what we need to do to help a victim, because that's what victims are. It's not something that they chose. It's something that happened to them.
And another thing we can do is we can work with local religious communities or congregations and people in the community, volunteers, either nonprofit or for-profit facilities, to help stop trafficking by supporting the victim services provided by spreading awareness of human trafficking. But with businesses, we can provide jobs, internships, skills training, and other opportunities to the survivors. Because that's one of the things is we also have to give them hope. We also have to give them resources. We want to make sure that we are providing them with services and not just, you know, blaming them or feeling sorry for them. And, again, if you're in the United States and you believe someone is a victim, call 911. And the National Human Trafficking Hotline number is 1-800-373-7888. Because they can also receive assistance in regards to trafficking victims, including undocumented individuals, are eligible for services and immigration assistance if they're coming from other countries. And we have to be conscientious of consumers, and we also have to remember that sometimes helping by donating clothes, donating food, donating money to some of our organizations can also help stop what's going on too. We want to make sure that we encourage our local schools and partners with students and include modern slavery as a curriculum by educating parents, educators, school administrators to be aware of traffickers and target school-age children. Let them know in the schools what's going on. And, again, talking to more businesses, helping healthcare providers learn more about what's going on, and even with the criminal justice system, with attorneys. There are some attorneys that offer human trafficking victims legal services, including support for those seeking benefits or special immigration status, and resources are available for attorneys representing victims of human trafficking. Any other questions or things you guys want to throw out there, Amy or Amalia or Michelle, while you're on the phone?
Okay.
So, again, like I said, I want to thank you guys for helping me with this, because one of the differences, like I said, we talked a lot about the human sex trafficking, but then there are a lot of individuals that are also out there that are working, and we don't hear about it as much as we used to in regards to the sweatshops and working in other countries and being extorted and transported to other countries to do certain work and things of that nature. But we have to end the silence. I always say when you know better, you do better. I'm going through my social media, going through my Facebooks, and trying to see if anybody have any comments that they may want to share in regards to some of the questions that we're throwing out there, not just the questions, but just the information that we are talking about. So, Amy, I'm going to throw you out there now. What do you want to talk about next week? I need a topic, Amy.
Are you talking to me?
I need a topic. Give me a topic for next week's show.
I don't know. We talked about maybe like rebuilding trust in relationships.
Okay. All right. So next week we're going to be talking about rebuilding trust, because a lot of times individuals have difficulties with trust. And you know what? And that's a good topic, because a lot of times people get stuck. If even with the human sex trafficking victims, a lot of individuals have to realize or gain trust again with the system, with their family. How do you trust someone after you've been, how can you learn to trust someone after you've been hurt, after you've been betrayed, after you've been exploited, after you've been manipulated, after you've been lied to? Because it does take time. It does take skill. You do have to practice, and you also have to have a sense of awareness, because you don't want to walk around with a sense of paranoia of thinking that everyone else is out to get you when we're talking about building trust. So, again, I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, tomorrow is when we do the segment From the Pulpit to the Couch, and we are going to be talking about distractions, because a lot of individuals are becoming very easily distracted, and we're not paying attention in regards to what's going on in the world today, how that is affecting children, families, husbands, wives, and everyone. So join Pastor Dan Estelle and I, as next week we're going to be talking about distractions. So until then, remember, you've got this. Thank you, ladies, for joining me. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.